Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
And we are back here on Monday Night Talk. And we want to thank Jeffrey for joining us. Always a good conversation with Jeffrey. See, I told you that there was brilliance in what it is that Jeffrey does.
It's very enlightening when he comes on and talks about all the things he's done.
But he's so animated. He's passionate. And isn't that what we want to do? Is we want to bring people on who are passionate? Isn't that what we want?
That's the goal. I love his spelling of his name, G-E-O-F-F-R-E-Y.
Of course you will. Larry is trying to get our next guest on. Larry, just give it a couple more tries. If we're not successful, then we can carry on the conversation with State Rep Jeffrey Deal. Jeff Deal, who is actually now a candidate for State Senate. Second Plymouth Bristol?
Yes, Second Plymouth Bristol. Broke that right here on WATD with you, Kevin Tachi.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for covering that.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for covering that.
Yes, sir. If only I could have got out to Whitman at Marcello's, I would have been there. And
Then we finished the day at the at Campanelli Stadium's Shaw Center in Brockton that night.
Home of the Brockton Rocks.
Exactly. By the way, I actually sold that sign package for sign design in Brockton when I worked for that company on West
really?
Chestnut Street. Yep.
How interesting.
It is.
Wow.
And we had a great crowd, and it was a heck of a time, and it really kicks off what I think is going to be a great Senate race. But I know you've got a
we're waiting. We're hoping to hear from a famed historian, Sergei Khrushchev. His dad is Nikita. He is, of course, you know your history, don't you?
Sure. Russian, head of
Cuban
Russia.
Cuban Missile Crisis.
Right, of course. Pushed us to the brink. Brinkmanship. Mutually assured destruction. MAD was the discussion at the time. Bomb shelters. It was pretty crazy times. Fidel Castro. We've now reopened relations with Cuba. So, wow, his son is going to be calling in?
Well, we're trying to reach him on the phone. I'm not sure if we're going to be successful or not, but we'll have Larry give it a couple more tries, and if not, well, gosh darn it, we tried to have him on, and the way it is. I will kind of just throw it out there to folks, just in case we don't get Dr. Khrushchev on. He is going to be at the JFK's High-End Museum. It's an evening with Dr. Sergei Khrushchev. This is going to be at Nantucket's Dreamland Theater. And the host will be the acclaimed Russian historian himself, as he's going to offer rare insight into the intense historic relationship between the Soviet premier himself, Nikita Khrushchev, and John F. Kennedy during his years as president. And he also talk distinctly about the Cuban Missile Crisis, when the world was right on the brink of nuclear war.
All right, so name the quote from the Sting song that talked about Nikita Khrushchev. What was the quote? Mr. Khrushchev says, quote.
Joe?
I'm trying to think of Sting's music.
The song is called I Hope the Russians Love Their Children Too, and the quote was, Mr. Khrushchev says, we will bury you. That was a real-time quote from Nikita Khrushchev back in the day. Speaking about the United States.
So you're a big police or a big Sting fan?
I'm just a big fan of things in general related to politics and music, right?
Okay.
Not unlike our governor, not unlike Senator Hedlund. There must be a common thread that runs through.
That's true.
There is. So talk to us. What made you decide that the time was right? Now, again, you're going to be, if you are successful, come November 3rd. Well, actually, first October 6th and then November 3rd. You would be serving out the remainder of the passing of the Senator, Tom Kennedy.
That's right. So, obviously, you know, we found out, it's getting close to a month now ago, that Senator Kennedy had passed, and very unexpectedly. So the state law is that, you know, if there's a certain amount of time left to fill the seat, they have to hold a special election. And so there has been a special election called for the Second Plymouth Bristol Senate District, which includes the towns of Easton, Brockton, Hanover, Whitman, Hanson, Halifax, Plimpton, and East Bridgewater. Actually, three precincts of East Bridgewater and two precincts of Easton, to be technically correct. But that special election, like you said, is November 3rd. Right now, I don't believe I have primary opponents, and so I'm just focusing on the November 3rd. And what I've been doing is, of course, you have to have a website. I got that going, which is jeffdiehl.com, www.jeffdiehl.com. That's got all the information about the campaign and what we're doing as far as activities. But what I immediately did, obviously, was, you know, got together a group of people to help me with the campaign. We had a kickoff on this last Thursday. And honestly, I've just been out there knocking on doors in new towns. I currently represent Abington, Whitman, and East Bridgewater. And so I would, you know, have all those new towns to represent. And I've been out there trying to talk to as many people as I can, because that's really what it's all about. You know, whether you're running for office or in office, I think you have to be always talking to the people. And I'm just trying to convey to them, you know, what I've done in office the last 5 years as a representative and what I want to continue to do as a state senator.
Joe, do you have a question?
What are some of the things, first of all, what are some of the towns that would be added to your the area that you already represent?
So the big one, obviously, is Brockton next door. And like I said, actually, my wife actually was born in Brockton. Her family, everybody was raised there. So they moved to Whitman, you know, when she was young. Then I ended up going back to moving to the South Shore area when we got married, and I ended up working in Brockton for a number of years. But so Brockton's the big one, big town. Easton, there's two precincts, one and two, so that would be new. And then obviously Hanover's a whole new town for me. It's a pretty large town. And then I would have keep Whitman, keep East Bridgewater. But what's nice is I'd add Hanson, where my wife's business is right now. But even more to the point, Whitman-Hanson is a regional high school. I like the fact that it's actually now tied together through the Senate seat. Then obviously there's Halifax and Plimpton as well. So some agricultural stuff that kind of matches what I've been doing with East Bridgewater. And then Brockton, obviously, a lot more of a bigger city with different challenges. But really, I think this, when I first ran for office, I was on the Whitman Town Finance Committee. I was liaison to the school board. And what prompted me to run was the constant cuts to local aid, education funding, and then increased taxes. And I said, well, you know, I was really apolitical. I was 40 years old at the time, two young daughters, didn't think I was ever going to run for anything for office. But I'm on the FinCom, and I said, well, who keeps voting this way? And they said, well, our rep votes for the speaker, not what's best for the town. I said, well, is anybody running against him? And this was in 08. They said no, and I said, well, can I run? They said, well, you have to join your local Republican Party and see, you know. And I said, all right. So I joined, asked them if I could run, ended up running, and spent 2009 going door-to-door, and 2010 in another year going door-to-door. And, you know, upset, I think it was an upset anyway, but it was, you know, a two-term incumbent who was vice chair of education. And, you know, since I've gotten into office, I've continued to vote what I think is best for the towns, for the taxpayers. And, in fact, last year I worked on the ballot question to repeal the gas tax indexing, where it was going to go up with inflation automatically every year without a vote. And we were successful with that. And that's the mentality I want to take into the Senate, is, you know, being a watchdog for your tax dollars and making sure I vote what's best for the people of the towns first and foremost.
How ironic that we're sitting here talking about that. Jeffrey was just sitting here a few minutes ago, and I think he referenced the initiative, the work to repeal the gas tax, you know, the link to CPI.
Yeah, in fact, Jeff from Brennan's actually also made the great point about the alcohol tax. Actually, when I first ran in 2010, that was on the ballot, was the repeal of the double taxation on alcohol, which my opponent at the time had voted for. And, you know, I made the case that it's really, that's unconstitutional with the state constitution. Sure enough, you know, the repeal happened, but it really should have never gone through in the first place. And I think, to Jeff's point, what he was talking about before was that the will of the people is pretty strong. And we've seen that now with the ballot question for the gas tax, but we also saw it this year. I think it was one of the hidden points of pressure on the Olympics committee, the Boston 2024 folks, as to why they decided to pull out and no longer proceed with the bid for Boston. Not only did Mayor Marty Walsh not want to sign that, you know, overruns guarantee for the Boston 2024, but we also, Evan Falchuk, who'd ran for governor as independent party candidate, and myself and the gas tax team teamed up with him to put together a ballot question that we were going to go ahead and get signatures for to put a taxpayer protection against overruns in. And, you know, it was going to be a $1 billion boondoggle to the taxpayers. The people were behind it. And I think the IOC, the USOC, the mayor of Boston, even the governor realized this is probably not going to go anywhere if our signature or ballot drive goes through, which we really knew we could do. And I think that was a big reason why they decided to pull out.
Do you think that there was, this is kind of the one question that I had, and I don't want to get too far off track here, but in regards to that, do you think there was any way at all they could have guaranteed no taxpayer money going into that?
No way at all. In fact, the only other city that tried to come up with some creative solution was Chicago several years back, where they would try to create an overall insurance umbrella. And it just turned out there was no way you could afford the cost of the insurance, because here's the problem with the insurance companies. They know that it's a 100% guarantee that there will be a tax over, a cost overrun with the Olympics.
Sure.
There's never not been a cost overrun since 1960. The average overrun was 179%. So really, take your budgeted Olympics and add 80% of the cost and toss that on the backs of the taxpayers. And that's what the IOC and the USOC want to have happen. Well, you know, it's impossible to bond insurance against that. And so what there was talk of was to see if each city that would, like, so what, okay, backing up a little bit. Boston 2024 got creative with version 2.0 of their bid and started to try to say, okay, some of these events will be outside of Boston. We'll put them, you know, in Billerica. We'll move them out into Western Mass and down in New Bedford. And what they were thinking they'd try to do is see if those cities could individually insure against some of these events themselves. But the truth is, the billions of dollars really exceeded any city's budget. So there's no way any city could, you know, bond for that as well. It really was a financial impossibility. And ultimately, I think everybody realized that, you know, the real scheme was to basically get the taxpayers of Mass to be on the hook. And once, you know, Mayor Walsh called their bluff and said, I'm not signing this, out they went.
Yeah, I kind of thought that it was too steep of a hill for this proposal to climb. I mean, other than the mayor, I believe the Boston City Council had
Tito said, Jackson actually took a big lead in that. You're
Tito
right,
Jackson kind of jumped right on top of that and says that, you know, before you even talk about taxpayer dollars, you have to come before us and talk about it. And that wasn't even a proposal. And it, you know, we had, what's kind of odd, because a couple of weeks prior, Joe and I had Mayor Walsh on here, and we did talk with him about it, and he was kind of, you know, talking about how good, if it all works properly and if it didn't cost the taxpayers, he'd look forward to it. Even I think he kind of even gave us an idea of what sport he would, you know, be interested in kind of seeing. But
I want to say, I listened to that show. Didn't you talk to him about something that people hadn't talked about before? Some
yeah,
issues with
the issue of the expense of security. How are you going to provide a world event and provide world-class security? Yes.
That's a great point. You know, and nobody was really talking about that for the most part. They were talking about venues and cost overruns at venues, but security was a great point. And in fact, those federal dollars are our tax dollars too, so I'm glad you brought that up, and I'm glad the mayor obviously had to address that as well.
We got a couple of minutes left here to speak with State Representative Jeff Deal, who is a candidate for State Senate, and I think where we had left off was your run, what made you want to get involved with this, who you have for candidates. What do you feel are going to necessarily be the issues in this race when you do have an opponent? Because you will have an opponent after October 6th.
Sure. No, and I think that's like what I said. I'm focusing on November 3rd. And what I am, you know, clearly going to talk about is making sure that what we focus on for the future up at the legislature is, you know, creating a better economic environment for businesses to create the jobs that are needed to get people back to work. It's not just in Brockton. It's also in all the other towns. We are still recovering from the economic downturn from 08 and beyond, coupled with the fact that there's obviously an opioid crisis that I know has hit the city of Brockton as well as the suburbs equally as hard. And so that's another major issue I think we're going to continue to talk about. Education, Common Core, and its effect on, you know, the standards for education, I think should be talked about. You know, and I also, you know, funding for education, quite honestly, it's always been at an issue, and the Chapter 70 funding formula is so far out of whack after 20 years that we really have to address that. So, you know, there really is no topic we shouldn't talk about that isn't debated up at the State House regularly, but I look forward to having a chance to, you know, in an unusual time, because special elections sort of come when you don't expect them, a chance to you know, rehash where we've been and where we need to go for the future.
Joe?
What do you think one of the biggest challenges is going to be once you say you are successful, you know, once that happens, what do you think the first challenge is going to be right when you get into office in this district?
Well, you know, the first thing I want to do is obviously follow through with what Senator Kennedy was working on.
Sure.
He and I both filed joint legislation on previous things, make sure that certain, you know, bills pass in the first year. Also, I think importantly, you know, get a gauge on where the governor's priorities are and how that fits with the whole district. I know
sure.
gateway cities are very important to the Governor Baker, and you know, I think that Brockton is one of those areas where he sees a chance to work with Mayor Carpenter or whoever ends up being the mayor, you know, at that time. But currently, obviously, he's working with Mayor Carpenter. I know there's an election for that on the same day. Whoever the mayor is, working with them to continue the growth in Brockton, which is really turning around. There's a lot of new construction, new work in Brockton. And I think continue that positive aspect, and at the same time, in the suburbs, you know, continue to do what I've been doing, which is to try to make sure Beacon Hill pays attention to the needs of our cities and towns when it comes to getting funding back for their needs. And look, Governor Baker, when he first got into office, released $100 million in road funds for cities and towns. That translated, I'm sure anybody driving around this summer has seen construction all around the South Shore on major and small roads. That is a direct response from the governor giving back what he promised, which was helping towns, you know, fix that stuff and get people to work. So I want to continue that work as well.
Just got a message from a gentleman who, well, actually, coming up in a few minutes, we're going to have Dave Russo, who
hey,
is a
our
teammate of ours.
Partner.
And Mike O'Loughlin put a little bit of a message on Facebook saying, noting that we were kind of having a Hug Foundation-esque
reunion, sort
reunion
of on the radio,
so,
right?
So to speak.
Mike, by the way, is married to Valerie, who you know, is an advocate for rare diseases. She worked for the Abington Council on Aging, and she was incredible, had to step down because of her situation with a rare disease, and now she's become an advocate, gone up to Beacon Hill, testified on behalf of legislation I've co-sponsored, and the O'Loughlin family is absolute. Mike and Valerie are exemplary people in the community, and they live in Rockland, but they are absolutely, you know, out there across the South Shore trying to advocate on this. Went to the Hug Foundation event to make sure that, you know, the money could be raised for charity to help with rare diseases. So thanks for typing in, Mike.
Anything that we haven't asked you but you feel is important? I've had people who've asked me, and I don't know if it's been something that's been brought up in Brockton in regards to the casino or in regards to other issues like needing police and fire, or have you had anything that we haven't mentioned that you want to take a moment to talk about while I have you here?
Yeah, you know, the casino issue actually affects not just Brockton, but also surrounding communities that get remediation money as well. So it's something that, you know, has certainly been a topic. There's people that live near where the proposed site would be that are very concerned about, you know, what the casino would bring as far as you know, to the neighborhoods, you know, positive or negative. But then there's also obviously a lot of people that feel that the city needs sort of a game changer as far as new revenue in. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the city voted, you know, just recently to move forward with the casino, but it doesn't mean it's a done deal because obviously it has to go through Gaming Commission and several other regulators. So it's not a done deal, and I think that issue is going to continue to be talked about for a while as well.
Folks want to find out more. I'd ask you about campaigning, but you're no stranger to campaigning. I've seen you in action. I've seen your opponents in action, and I know that you're all going to get out there with your message. And let's not forget, you're fresh off of a campaign, winning a Pauley Award, you and your team.
Yep.
For when regarding
question
the
one,
gas question one, the gas tax.
Yep.
What do you want to say in closing?
I think, you know, again, I just want to continue the work I've done in the House for 5 years. I think I can bring, you know, that fresh perspective into the Senate. I think that I can be successful like I have both in the chamber in the House and outside the chamber with the ballot question and getting people to get behind issues that are important to them. So I just, you know, hope that on November 3rd, they will be supportive of me. Jeff Deal running for state Senate, and my website's jeffdeal.com, GEOFFDIEHL.com. I have a Facebook page too, and you can really see me. I'm putting daily activities on Facebook. It's great to be out in the communities, talking to people, getting their opinions, and, you know, doing what I think you're supposed to do, constantly having contact with the community.
Well, Representative, thank you for coming in, and I think I hope we're one of the first talk shows you had a chance to sit down and talk to. I'm sure we won't be the last.
You're definitely the first I've come in to talk about this, and you won't be the last, but I hope I'm not the last. It's not the last time I'm coming in to talk as well.
There
so thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Joe.
All right, we're going to step aside, and when we come back, Dynamite Dave Russo. I'm going to speak with him right here on Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.